You're going to hope that I preach as long as my text is. Matthew chapter number 13, begin reading at verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Amen. And that's all I'm reading. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. I want to talk to you here tonight for a little while about the concern of the sower. And the concern of the sower. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. God of heaven, we love you and we need you. I pray, Jesus, that you would help us tonight. Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. I do not feel like I'm going to be very long whatsoever at all. I just have something, a little something that's on my heart here tonight. I know that's the famous last words of the preacher, but at least he feels like that, and they say that's the thought that counts, right? Amen. Praise God. The concern of the sower. The Bible teaches us that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. That God gave his life for everybody. Amen. His blood was shed for every soul that would grace the face of the earth. And everybody born in sin, shapen in iniquity, everybody coming under the condemnation of sin and falling short of the grace of God is in need of the grace of God. Amen. Falling short of his glory, we need his grace. Praise God. Amen. And we need to seek after that. And I believe that it's what we need to do. Now, we understand from the beginning in the book of Genesis, we understand that this was the original plan, the intent of God. The intent of God was to have man tucked away inside of a garden that was rich and that was lush, that really did not have any a need of anything. The Bible teaches us that Adam was there to take care of the garden. Genesis chapter number 2, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, but the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then the Bible says that God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there in that garden he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, tree of life also in the midst of the garden. The river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And this was the plan of God. This was the original intent of God. As a matter of fact, we know that we could get all the way to the book of Genesis chapter number 6 before we see that God begins to speak concerning rain. And a lot of the unbelief that was there was because that they had seen no rain up to this point of time. And God took care of the ground. God sent forth a mist up out of the ground, and it watered the grass, and it watered the trees and everything. And if you think about that, that is extremely not just unique, but miraculous, that there was enough water that came forth out of the ground to take care of all of the needs that were represented there. And so with that, just with the mist of the ground, we see that the curse of man was upon the face of the ground. God cursed the ground. And he told Adam that by the sweat of his brow that he would till the ground, and that the ground would bear forth thorns and thistles and such. And Adam was to cultivate that. Adam was to dig out the thorns and the thistles and to cultivate a land. But at the same time, God was taking care of the watering process. And so when God decided to destroy the earth by water and destroy it by rain, people did not know what rain really was. They did not understand what, you know, floods were and such, and not understand the reasoning behind Noah's ark. But God put it there, and God caused there to be a rain that would fall upon the face of the earth. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. The waters from the deep broke up. The waters came from below, and the waters came from above, and totally covered the entire earth. And everything that was not in that ark died. Everything was killed because of that. Now, we know that when they came back and rested upon the mount, that God told them to go forth and to multiply. And so then we come to the rest of the Bible. I'm not going to preach the whole Bible. I did that this morning. But we see that in their toils, in their trials, they planted vineyards. They planted crops. They planted their corn. They planted their wheat. They planted all of these things. And in planting these things, they knew they had the need of water for the earth. Praise God. Amen. It may take me just a little while to get here tonight. But I was talking to my brother, and my brother is heavily involved in agriculture and working firsthand with farmers and stuff, and working different fields along the lines of fertilization and all that other stuff, and doing tests and surveys to see where they can get the biggest gains from, and if the gains are profitable for the amount of work and the amount of time that they have to put into it. And he began to talk to me about some of the statistics that they had. Many times I would talk to him, and it may be late at night or it may be early in the morning, but there were things that they were doing in preparation for the harvest that was to come. And so over the course of the time and no rain for a period of time, a lot of their lakes, the land that had been set aside, that they had dug down and created lakes, some of those lakes had began to run dry and were very, very low. And these were lakes that had been man-made. I think one or two of them may be natural, but there's a couple of them that are man-made lakes. And so what the farmers are doing is they are giving up agricultural land that can yield a harvest, and they are making lakes out of them. And then with this, they take these lakes, and these lakes obtain water, and then through the course of irrigation and through the drought, then they go down. And so there is a need, and so my brother oftentimes would be out there all night long. Instead of working a day shift, he would work a night shift, and he would have to man the pumps. And they would, when the rains would come in the early springs and stuff, and the streams would flood and overflow their boundaries and become rushing, raging rivers and torrents of water, they would take their big hoses. I don't even remember exactly how large they were, but they would stick them into those swollen creeks, and they would pump those creeks. They would pump them into the lake to hold water for tomorrow. They would pump the water into these lakes for the times of after the sowing would happen, and so they would use this water, that the rainwater would make tender the land, and they would get out there with their plows and such, and they would begin to till up the ground, and then they would put the seed in the ground. And once the seed has been planted into the ground, you can't say that that's the beginning of work, because work never stops when it comes to farming and agriculture and stuff. But that's really when the concern begins to hit home. The investment they have taken from their pockets and from their bank accounts and invested it into seed for a return and a yield, and they take it out there into the fields, into the acres and acres, the thousands of acres, and they begin to plant the seed in the field. And in this field, they have been setting preparation. They have stayed up into the wee hours of the morning, working the swollen streams and pumping water out of it into the lakes. And there are some fields that they will use as surveys to try to understand the yield that they would get from water and from no water. And so this year, through crop rotation and such, they on the time they're planting did a lot of corn this year, and so they had their fields that were out there, their fields that had no water. They were too far away from water, too hard to get water to them. And so they planted those fields with corn, and when it came time to harvest, there was corn that was to be gleaned. And if I remember correctly, I consulted with him a little bit earlier today to get these numbers, but he said on the non-irrigated lands that they harvested somewhere between 60 to 80 bushels an acre. 60 to 80 bushels an acre. But on their irrigated lands that they had, they cannot treat those the same way that they treat the other lands. The other lands, it's just there, and the other lands we have concern for. And we pray that rain will come. And we pray that the heat would not be so hot that it would scorch it. And I was really unaware of these things. And he said, yeah, he said, we were harvesting this year. And he said, literally, he said, we harvested a lot of popcorn. So hot, so dry, that the corn, that the seed, that corn that is out there upon the husk actually pops, and it looks just like popcorn on the cob. Instead of corn on the cob, it's popcorn on the cob and such. And he said it was just a hot year. It was just an extremely hot year. And they just, they have concern for it. They pray for rain. They pray that the sun would not bake it. They pray that it would yield a good harvest. But in the other place, they have to be a little bit different. On this, they'll use pesticides and they'll use other things. But on this, they're a little bit different. There are men that are tabbed, that are basically they are put there on purpose to take care of this. There are men that are going to be paid that are going to have to work on pumps and generators and make sure that the irrigation is going. There are men that have got to man the pumps. There are men that have got to open up the canals. There are men that have got to pump water into the canal system and got to pump it to the fields so that the sprinklers can pick it up and the power of the generator, amen, can force it to be spread out over. There's other things, but there is time that is invested into this. And they have to take that time. They have to take the man hours of working late at night and take the man hours of working the pumps and the equipment that it takes to have these things. And they have to balance it. They have to weigh it against the fields that are producing without any water and see if it is worth it. And so the fields that had no water produced somewhere between 60 and 80 bushels an acre, just depending on its location. And you know that sometimes the south side of Augusta can get rain and the north side doesn't, and vice versa. And Andover gets rain and Augusta doesn't, and Andover gets tornadoes, and Augusta doesn't, and such. So, you know, just a matter of miles can separate quite the difference. And so depending on where they were, somewhere between 60 to 80 bushels an acre with the water, but when it, or without the water. But when it came to irrigated crops, when it came to the place where they would take that water and the pumps and the man hours and invest it into it to bring it and pull it out of the streams and store it in their lakes and pull it out of the lakes and put it out on the crops and stuff, we went from 60 to 80 bushels an acre to somewhere between 240 and 260 bushels an acre, some 3 to 4-fold greater than with no water. And so there is a need, as we know, for water. Praise God. There is a need for water. And so I just want to talk to you here for a little while about the concern of the sower. The Bible said that there was a sower that went out to sow. And we know that he sowed on many types of ground. And he just sowed everywhere that he went. He sowed on the rocky ground, and he sowed among the thorns, and he sowed upon the good ground, and he sowed, amen, and the birds got the seed and such. And so, but he was sowing everywhere, and everybody. The Bible talks about that there was a rich man that had a barn, and his barn was full, and he said, I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build myself bigger barns. And so he had yielded a great harvest. Somewhere he had concern. His planting season had went well. His growing season had went well. Things had lined up and straightened out. Maybe it rained and maybe he had irrigated this. But I just want to tell you tonight that good harvest doesn't just come because that somebody sits by and hopes that a harvest will come. Amen, amen. We don't have 240 bushels an acre, amen, just because that we sat at home and stuck our head under the covers and hoped that it would come. But I can imagine, amen, that every day, whether watered or not watered, the concern of that farmer is that he walks out onto the grounds, amen, and he looks to the east, and he looks to the west, looks to the south, looks to the north, and as he's driving his old pickup down those dusty roads, and the dust is billowing up behind him, his eyes are hanging out on the horizon, and there is a small prayer, whether uttered or not uttered, that's somewhere inside of his heart, that's saying, oh God, we need some rain about right now. We could really use some rain about right now. I know that's the way that we feel around here. I just got to walking through my yard, and I saw all kinds of things that are effects of the drought, that are effects of no rain. I literally have cracks in my backyard that I could just about stick my entire hand down into. Cracks in the front yard, retaining walls, amen, that are buckling and out of way because of the ground, amen, is shrinking and giving and such. And so I was driving over to Micah's house the other day, and I told my wife, as we rounded a corner, I said, you can tell who waters and who doesn't waters, or who doesn't water. And over here there was a yard that was nothing but brown. There was hardly any green whatsoever at all. But just across the street there is a yard that is lush and green. Amen. Every part of that yard is thick and rich and green. And it's because they desire a good, beautiful yard. I believe that the neighbors across the street desire a yard, but they're not willing to pay the price for that green yard. I believe that the neighbors across the street want a green yard, but they don't want to pay the bill associated to get a green yard. And the other ones are saying, you know what, for us it's worth it. We want this. This is the way that it is with the sower. Amen. As that sower begins to drop the seed, as that sower begins to plant the seed, there is a prayer that is following behind him. Oh, I pray that this seed comes up. I pray that the water would come and flourish.
and that it would wet, amen, and water the ground, just as it did back in the days of Eden. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that the enemies of the children of God would oftentimes go, amen, and cave in the wells that they had dug. These were wells that were for their cattle and for their family and for their fields. When they went into a place, they took the time to dig a well. Amen. And they would draw from that well. Amen. That water was so necessary for, amen, just for life in general. And God likens this sowing and this planting and this reaping and this harvest unto souls. In the book of John, he said, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, for the fields are white unto harvest. In other words, something has been happening. There's been some water. Amen. There's been some irrigation. Somebody's taken the time to plant. And even Paul would write and he would say, amen, he said, I have planted and Apollos has watered, but it is God that give the increase. I've just come to New Life Tabernacle to say, is there a concern for the seed? Amen. Is there any concern that the sower has? Amen. Are we as a church just sitting back and thinking, well, I sure hope that there is a harvest? Amen. It would be really good if we could have revival. Or is there somebody willing to plant? Is there somebody willing to sow? Is there somebody that's willing to water that seed that has been planted? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that except a grain of corn would fall into the ground and die, that it cannot come forth, it cannot produce. Amen. But we cannot just hope that 60 to 80 bushels an acre is going to come up. We've got to be concerned about the seed. There ought to be a concern with inside of us for the harvest that is out there. There ought to be something inside of us that stirs us up as we're driving down the dusty road of life and looking out at the horizon, amen, and looking at the sea that is out there, and the lost people, amen, that are driving in their cars, and walking down the sidewalks, that are going in and out of the gas stations, in and out of Walmart, the seed of humanity, amen. Some call it the sea of humanity, but it's the seed of humanity that's out there, amen. But there ought to be a concern somewhere in the sower, as you're walking the aisles of Walmart thinking, oh God, come breathe revival upon this land. Oh God, come rain upon this land. God, give us revival that we could harvest the seed that has been sown. There ought to be something within inside of us that would get us out of our homes and get us out of our comfort zones. Amen. That would put church cards in our pocket. Why are you getting some more church cards? Just because I got a concern for the seed. I got a concern for the seed. Amen. I'm just going to the church to pray for a while. What are you going to pray about? I got a concern for the seed. I want to water the seed with tears. Amen. I want to be able to weep over them. I want to see more people come into the church. I want to see more people in the altars. I want to see more people weeping and crying. Amen. I'm going to tell you, 35 isn't the magic number. Amen. God wants this church to run so much more. God wants this church to flourish. God wants this church to grow. Amen. God is interested in a 60 to 80 bushels an acre. Amen. But I want you to really know what God is interested in. He's interested in a church that'll stay up all night pumping water out of swollen streams into the lake that says, God, I'm going to need this a little bit later. Amen. God is interested in people, amen, that'll weep tears. Amen. And let the eyes pump out the tears that water the seed that has been planted. Hold that mind. my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. The prophet said, oh, that somebody would weep over the lost. Oh, that somebody would pray for the lost. Oh, that somebody would get concerned for the lost. I ask you here tonight, do you not have family that needs to be in the church? Do you not have friends that need to be in the church? Do you not have loved ones that need to be in the church? Do you not have co-workers that need to be in the church? They're out there. The seed can be planted, but oh, somebody needs to pray over them. Somebody needs to fast about them. Somebody needs to be concerned about the seed that the sower is planting. Let's stand here tonight. Hallelujah. Just a simple little message. Let me read to you from the book of Deuteronomy 11. I came across this, and I felt like the Lord gave me great pause. As I began to read it, I just felt like God was saying, this can be you. He said, chapter number 11, for the land, whether thou goest in to possess it, it is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and watereth it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whether you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water, the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. I know that every lost sinner out there God cares for. For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of the land in his due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, for thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourself that your hearts be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you to shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and the lest ye perish quickly from off the good land from that the Lord giveth you. Leviticus 26, he said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. The Lord told Solomon in the book of Chronicles, he said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locust to devour the land or send pestilence among the people, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and seek their face, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I just have to believe that God's got a mighty revival in store for the church. It's like I can feel it. I can feel it. It's just beyond my reach. I'm seeing through a glass darkly. It's beyond a veil, and I'm not able to get a hold of it. But I want you to know I'm praying for it. I'm seeking God for it. I'm weeping for it. I'm looking for it. I'm praying that the rain of heaven would come and water this thirsty land. And then I see people like have come in the past couple of weeks, and I have seen their hearts touched, and I have seen the tears flow down their face. I have heard their cries. I've heard their prayers.
And I just know that God has got so many more that are out there. I want to be what He would have me to be. I want to be available for His kingdom. I want to do what He needs me to do. I want to be effective. I want to be effective. I want revival. I want revival. Young people, I would that you could get a hold of, that you can make a difference. You can make a difference in your friends. You can make a difference in your family. You can. But you can't just sit by the side and hope that it happens. You got to do something. You got to do something. You can make a difference in your jobs, with your coworkers. You can make a difference with everybody, but you can't sit by the side and just hope that it happens. Pray that God would open up a door of utterance. Weep over them. I heard a story many years ago, and I close with this, that there was an evangelist that was preaching at a church. And the church had organized outreach, and they were going down the street knocking on doors. And they lost the evangelist. They went back looking for the evangelist, thinking that maybe he had found somebody and that he was talking with them. But rather, they found him on the steps of a Baptist church. And on the steps of that Baptist church, this evangelist was weeping and crying. And the pastor asked him, he said, "Brother evangelist, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Because it's very well possible that I'm the only one that's weeping for these souls." He said, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the lost." I would that we would pray for a love for the lost. A burden will go away in time, but when you can see them as lost forever, and when you can love them in spite of, love produces care. The care of the seed, the concern of the sower. Hallelujah. Opening up these altars here tonight.